How are you?
Yeah, very well. Thanks for joining us on the program. Glioblastoma. Can you tell us a little bit about this one and what actually are the current treatment plans available for patients?
So the glioblastoma, unfortunately, is when we diagnose cancer, there's different stages. And basically, it predicts the aggressiveness of these cancers. So the glioblastoma are by far the most aggressive. And unfortunately, what comes with that is the shorter prognosis, the sort of 14 to 18 months that you've referred to. The current treatments that we have for these patients really revolve around surgery, so physically removing as much of that mass as possible. Radiotherapy and chemotherapy, these are really just sort of toxic drugs to try and kill off, again, as much of the cancer cells as possible, and unfortunately do affect some of the healthy cells as well. The only immunotherapy that's really approved and used standard in the clinical situation for patients is a drug called Avastin, and what this one does is stop the blood vessel growth. So that's really about stabilizing that cancer and trying to stop further growth in order to give the patient a longer survival as possible. But you know, those are really the current treatments that we have available.
This trial that we're talking about now showed patients living for, as you mentioned there, the 23 months as compared to 14 months, and been referred to as remarkably promising by the Brain Tumor Charity. What do you make of these results? Just how significant are they?
Look, I think the results are certainly promising, and there's definitely a reason to be, hopeful about that. I would say that, we need to be a little bit careful of some of the hype involved with this drug. So, as you mentioned, 11 years of drug development, or in terms of the clinical trials, and 300 patients have been, have received the drug to date. What the trial actually shows is they did start with 1,200 patients that were diagnosed with GBM, and a number of patients unfortunately get excluded for a variety of different reasons. So it is a highly selected patient population that you've ended up with. And also, in amongst these, we do have some sort of subcategories of patients with glioblastoma, and some of which we know do very well on the radiation and the chemotherapy. And on average, they will live the sort of, 2.5 years compared to those that don't have some of these genetic markers. And again, with these clinical trials, those patients which did the best and were surviving out for the sort of 3-4 years are actually those which have these favorable genetic markers. Those without some of these, genetic markers, unfortunately, were still only surviving about the 18 months. So certainly it's promising, and certainly for a subgroup of patients with glioblastoma, this will be a good addition in terms of the treatment strategy for them. But I think we need to be a little bit careful. It won't be available, and certainly won't be necessarily an option for all patients with glioblastoma.
I'd have to say, I mean, I'm certainly no kind of expert in these kind of medical matters, but what sticks out to me is the idea that this is using the immune cells to attack the tumours themselves in order to help the patients. Is this a particularly novel idea?
So the concept's generally been around for probably 10, 15 years. So the dendritic cells are interesting because they sit at the very beginning of the process. So the problem we have with cancer cells and the immune cell recognition at the moment is that the cancer cells actually hide themselves from the immune cells. And what the dendritic cell vaccine is doing is actually providing the dendritic cells with a piece of tumour and basically getting them all activated and reared up before you then inject them back into the patient. So the patient isn't actually having to provide that signal directly. We actually take these dendritic cells out of the body, give them a little bit of tumour tissue that we've basically digested up and made into a nice healthy soup for the dendritic cells to become activated by, and then we're giving that back. So it's very critical that, these cells become activated because they're essentially the drivers of everything else to come. And once we get the immune system activated and reared up, certainly you can have this lifelong protection. We can hopefully have patients, 5, 6, 7, 10 years out from their sort of surgical time.
And I suppose if we continue to invest with this kind of treatment, are there possibilities this kind of immunotherapy could be sort of further developed to obviously further improve the kind of results we would see, but also improve the kind of results we would see treating other diseases and other cancers?
Yeah, absolutely. So as we said, the DC vaccine sits at the very beginning of the system. So once that's activated, what we possibly might need to do is actually use another immunotherapy in combination to stop the cancer cells from being able to then switch off the immune cell response as it's continuing. So some of these other newer drugs which you've heard about for patients with melanoma and non-small cell lung cancer are these sort of immune checkpoint receptors. Nivolumab is the one that's been around for a little while and is showing very good results for melanoma. So probably I would see that we would have drugs such as that in combination with a DC vaccine to really ensure that we can get patients, you know, surviving out to you know, essentially lifelong survival for, you know, hopefully we get the general survival rates of 86 years for our patients.
Very encouraging. Kelly, thank you very much. Really do appreciate your time on this one.
Okay, thank you.